It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, we've been looking at the subject of personal evangelism. And let me remind you that as a child of God, you are one who is to go forth and spread the word, give the seed out, let people know that Jesus loves them and that he wants them to come to a saving knowledge so that one day they will be in heaven. Now, we've talked about several things under this subject of personal evangelism, and notice the soil. Now, the soil, once again, the Bible is likening us as we go forth and give out the word of God. The word of God is the seed. And then we are to sow it, so you have to have the soil to sow it in. Now, once again, what I'm giving you are likenesses according to the Word of God. Now, notice this. We see in the parable of the sower, Luke chapter 8, that the same seed, when sown, had different results. And one result was no reaction whatsoever. Two others had only temporary success. Only one seed out of the four resulted in bearing fruit, according to Luke 8:15, where it says, "But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Well, why was there no fruit for three out of the four illustrations? What was to blame? Was it because of the seed? No, we know the seed's good because the word of God will accomplish that which it's sent to do. In other words, the seed is good, the Word of God. Was it because of the sower that the results were limited? No, it's not because of the sower. The sower was doing what the sower was supposed to do, and that was to sow the seed. Well, was it because of the type of soil that there was the limited result? Was it the type of soil? Yes, that's the answer. You see, the responsibility in personal evangelism belongs personally to the sower. In other words, the sower is to go out and spread the word, to give the seed out. The sower fulfills his responsibility by sowing the seed. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 says this, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me, when I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." You see, we're to give out the word of God. The word of God goes forth, and when we plant the word of God, it's up to the individual to receive or reject the word of God. Now, God does not want anyone to die and go to hell. Some people would say that we're not to scare people into heaven. Well, that's true. We don't have to scare anyone. We need to give out the word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, we are to tell people that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Now, if that strikes terror or fear in the heart of an individual to bring that individual to the Lord, then we are to do that. We're to tell them the whole counsel of God, not holding anything back. We don't have to scare anyone. It's the word of God that's going to do the job. We simply give out the word. Matthew chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 says this, "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, Shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Well, we are to give out the word of God, but if someone does not receive it, we're to move on. We're to go to the next person and give out the word of God. Acts chapter 13, verses 44 through 46 says this, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. When the people refuse to hear us," and that's us, "when the people refuse to hear us or get saved, we go to someone else. If the soil rejects the seed, the soil is responsible. In this case, the sower should not feel accountable." Once again, the sower is the one who simply gives out the seed. The sower is the one who goes out and does what God wants them to do, and that is to tell other people about Jesus Christ. When we've done that, we've fulfilled our duty, our responsibility, our privilege of being able to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. Well, notice this. The positive implication is this. Every time we sow the seed, we are successful. If a person rejects it, we have not failed. They have. Now, there's something to remember here. We should learn the joy of sharing the word for its own sake. There is joy in sharing Christ with others. And we've got good news. We need to share that. Whether or not people accept him, that's the Lord. We are glad to serve our Lord in this way of giving out the word. And of course, we are excited when someone believes and truly accepts Jesus as Lord. But we should consider it as the icing on the cake, giving out the word of God and seeing a person come to saving knowledge. What about setting goals for how many we lead to the Lord? In other words, to get those who get saved. And goals, of course, are important. Instead of setting goals as to how many we lead to Christ, remember, he is the one who gives the increase. We should set goals as to how many we intend to witness to or how often we will witness. By setting a number of how many we intend to see saved could cause us to become discouraged if we do not see the goal fulfilled. See, only a few people gave heed to the message of Jeremiah the prophet and Jesus. Let's not count it as failure on our part when someone we witness to refuses to get saved, but rather let us continue on faithfully in sowing the seed for our Lord. Remember, our faith saves no one, but our faithfulness to the Lord helps others to have faith in the Lord. Well, now we've seen the soil, and that's as we go forth and give it to the individual. There, the soil, the heart, whatever, that individual. Now let's look at the sower. Let's evaluate some of the sowers here. We as sowers are simply seed throwers and water boys and girls. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 7 says, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." When we get this in our minds and in our hearts, that it's God, he is the one who gives the increase. It's not us. We simply are giving out the seed. Seeing souls saved involves both sowing and reaping. Now, there is no place for boasting on our part about numbers of people being converted. Now, you may have heard people going around bragging about how many souls they've led to the Lord. We have nothing to glory in except the cross. We have Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's who we're to glorify, and that's who we glory in. Now, we get excited when someone gets saved, but we have nothing to brag about. It's all of God. One may plant the seed. Another may water the seed. But it is God who gives the increase through His Word in a receptive heart. Now, notice this. What about qualifications to sow? Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18 says, "Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." This is Paul speaking. He goes on to say in verse 18, "What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." You see, once again, God can even use defective seed throwers. We throw out the seed, we give the word of God out, and God can use anyone to give out the word of God. Now, when I say anyone, I'm speaking of safe people who are using and taking advantage of, if you want to use that term, of having the privilege of giving out the word of God. Not only defective do we see, as I said, defective seed throwers, but not only defective in motive, as seen in the text in Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18 that I spoke of and read there just a few minutes ago, there are those who cause problems, but also in experience. This is because the power is in the seed, once again, not the sower. And therefore, we should not feel like we have to be an accomplished salesman to present the gospel. We're simply human beings who have a love for our Lord, and we're willing and able to go out and give out the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with exciting words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." This is Paul the Apostle speaking. He says, "I came in weakness." We go in weakness and trembling, giving out the word of God. You say you're afraid to give out the word of God. You get scared when you give out the word. Well, Paul, he said, "I came to you trembling." Paul the Apostle was a man of God, a great man of God, who I believe wrote over half of the New Testament. But here he comes and he says, "I didn't come speaking great words of oratory. I came speaking Jesus Christ." You see, even those who tremble and may not be eloquent can be used by the Lord to reach others, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And that gives me heart. That gives me encouragement that I can go forth as who I am and give out the word of God. You can go forth and you can give out the word of God because of Jesus Christ. He can use any of us if we're willing to be used of Him and if we're willing to go. Now, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to say, "Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I know I can't save myself, Lord. I've changed my mind about how to get to heaven. I can't do it on my own. I need you to take me to heaven. Lord, please save me." The Bible says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation." Confess to Jesus Christ, not to a man, but confess to Jesus Christ that you want Him to save you today. Ask Him to come into your heart. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.